We are holding at the Siyum of Masechet Kinim. We'll say it over again. We did the end of the Gemara. I'll go over the Gemara again right at the end. And the closing. Let's see. Yeah. The closing of Kachim is the end of Masechet Kinim. But because there's no Shas, so we'll just read the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Yoshua, Zeo Sh'amru Kishu Chai Kolo Echad, Kishu Met Kolo Shiva. So Rabbi Yoshua points out that all of the Masechet shows that the way in which the woman messes up the Neder by attempting to make things more and more well-defined, the system breaks down. And the moment that you have more complexity, you end up surprisingly being required to bring, instead of one chatas, eight. There were seven. That was the machlokas that we had in the Gemara. Whether you would be yotze, remember, if you go according to whatever carbon was brought first in the cane, or whether you go always over against what was the carbon chatas. Because of that, Rabbi Yeshua says, because he held that the din was seven. And second here, I lost my place. Seeing everybody. So what he pointed out is that, surprisingly, we find exactly the same thing as a strange marshal. A strange marshal is that an animal, which is extremely complex, but when it works as a system, it only has one voice. But when it dies, and it's no longer a system, because it's not an organism, it serves multiple purposes. So when it's alive, it only has one voice. But when it dies, it has seven voices. Why? Because it's broken up into pieces. Where do you get seven voices? You've got two shofarot, or horns, that are coming out of the karnayim. Shtei shokaf, shtei chalilim. You can have two flutes that are made out of bone flutes. You can make drums out of the or, so orola tov. You can use the me'ayim, the larger me'ayim, for strings of the nevalim. You can use the thinner parts of the me'ayim, the b'nei me'ayim, for kinorot. And if you hold, according to the Mandi Omar, that it requires eight chata'ot, we also have a remez to eight. What is that? Yeshomrim, aft samro l'tchelet. The tchelet itself is considered to be a musical instrument in the sense that it acts as part of the sounds of the pa'amonim of the me'il, which are hit by the tcheles, which are in the rimonim, and that sets off the pa'amonim. So because of that, we could look at that as an instrument as well. Rabbi Shimon ben Akashi, Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Akashi says there's another point over here. And that is, the same thing is true of the way in which people, as we say in English, hold systems together artificially. And that is that Zikne Am Oretz, Kozman Shemaskinim, the Atan Mitarefet Alehem, Shnemar Mesir Safa Lene'emanim, V'ta'am Zikinim Yikach. Now, that is part of the Pasuk in Iyov that says Mesir Lev Roshei Am Oretz. So therefore, we darshan that once you're talking about, can you hear me okay? I just got to notice that the internet's problematic. You all right? Andy, can you hear, sweetie? Okay, great. So if you're talking about Amei Haaretz, then once these Amei Haaretz begin getting old, they lose it, and their das becomes miturav. Masha enkein, zikne Torah enokein. Elokol zman shemaskinim da'atan mityashevet aleihem. Masha enkein, we're talking about zikne Torah, it's the exact opposite. The older that they get, the more held together their da'at is. Now, the way that we understood this, we learned it, Kinim, yeah, we did that together. So the idea over here is like this. Remember that the agencies of minds and the way in which people construct a reality for themselves takes a tremendous amount of energy. And when a person gets old and tired, They can't keep it together. And we actually say that. I can't hold it together. It falls apart, right? We're falling apart. The reason that you fall apart is because the things that you're held together with are artificial. And it's like somebody who's living complex lies and they just can't keep it up anymore. That's a police always get a confession. But it's just too much trouble to, you just run out of the ability to keep it all in mind. The idea of zikna is that the picture that you have in life simply doesn't hold together anymore. And it's not worth holding together for you. I pointed out that this takes place in hospitals very often, that a weak patient can be sitting in the hospital, they're perfectly normal, and they appear to be nuts. And you really think that they've lost their mind until they leave the hospital, have a couple to get back to themselves, and they have the energy for normalcy. But the idea over here is, therefore, that almost by definition, the same idea that we had, in which the system no longer works as a system that holds together on its own, it now requires all types of tikkunim. And that's what we're talking about in kinim. Because of the fact that you attempt to fix it, you end up messing it up. And the more you try to hold together something that's complex, the more difficult it is to hold together. Masha'inkin, if you allow things to function in totality, which Talmidei Chachamim do by being misdavek to Torah, so because of that, the more developed you become and the less involved you become in trying to create an artificial existence, the more profound is the das that you have that is held together. Shenemar b'yeshishim chokhma, with elderly people is chokhma, v'orech yamim tivuna, and the passing of years allows for greater tivuna. We'll discuss the meaning of this, I hope, as we go. Let me get the the girsa. Unless do we have a Gemara, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, wonderful. Okay. All right. So we don't need this anymore. Remember what we're doing now. We're going to do another one. Anybody who didn't have a chance to finish also Kinim, didn't get a chance to go ahead. I'm just going to do now the Siyun with the Shir of Hashanah Rabbah, the Nogea, the Inyanim of Kachin. And then together, when we have another 5 days, then we'll do Suda together. So we'll have a review. But for now, Hadron Alach, Mesechet Kinim. Actually, we should say Hadron Alach Tamid, yeah, because we just finished it. So I'll start with Tamid. Hadron Alach, Mesechet Tamid, V'Seder Kodashim, V'Adachalan. Daitan Alach, Mesechet Tamid, V'Seder Kodashim, V'Daitachalan. Lo Nashem Inach, Mesechet Tamid, V'Seder Kodashim, V'Lo Titashim Inan, Lo Ba'amadin, V'Lo Ba'amada'ati. Hadron Alach, Mesechet Tamid, V'Seder Kodashim, V'Adachalan. Da'atan Alach Mesechet Tamid V'Seder Kodashim V'Da'at Achalan. Lo Din Hashem Inach Mesechet Tamid V'Seder Kodashim V'Lo Tit Hashem Inan Lo Ba'am Ha'adein V'Lo Ba'am Ha'ati. Hadron Alach Mesechet Tamid V'Seder Kodashim V'Ad Rachalan. Da'atan Alach Mesechet Tamid V'Seder Kodashim V'Da'at Achalan. Lo Din Hashem Inach Mesechet Tamid V'Seder Kodashim V'Lo Tit Hashem Inan Lo Ba'am Ha'adein V'Lo Ba'am Ha'ati. Yiratzu B'Fanech Adonai Eloheinu V'Lo Yavisenu. שתהי תורסך ומנותינו בעולם הזה, ותהי בנו לעולם הבא. חנינה בר פופה, רבי בר פופה, נחמן בר פופה, בחוי בר פופה, אבמורי בר פופה, רפרן בר פופה, רוחש בר פופה, צורך בר פופה, עדה בר פופה, דרו בר פופה. הרבנו אדוני אלינו, סדברי תורסך בפינו ופי ישם חבייס ישראל, ונהיה אנחנו כולנו, וצאצאינו וצאצא עם חבייס ישראל. כולנו יודעי שמך ולומדי תורסך. יויביתך כמיני מצוותך, כי לעולם ימי, יריבי תמים בחוקך למען לא יבוש, לעולם לא ישכח פיקודך, כי במחי יסני. ברוך אתה, אדוני, למדני חוקך. מודים אנחנו מפניך, אדוני אלוהינו, ולא יביסינו, ששמת חלקנו מיושבי בית המדרש, ולא שמת חלקנו מיושבי קרנות, שאנו משכימים והם משכימים. אנו משכימים לדברי תורה, והם משכימים לדברים בטלים. Anu amilim ve imamilim. Anu amilim u mekabulim sachar. Ve imamilim ve inam mekabulim sachar. Anu ratzim ve imratzim. Anu ratzim lechaye olam haba. Ve imratzim lever shachat. Shenemar ve'ata Elohim toridim lever shachat. Anshe damim u mirma. Lo yechatzu yemeyem. Ve'ani yeftach boch. Yeratzom lefanecha Adonai Eloheinu. Kishem she'azartanu lesayem et mesechet tamid ve'sechet kodshim. כן תעזרנו להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים וציימם, ללמוד ולעמיד, לשמור ולעשות ולקיים את כל דברי תלמוד, תורתך באהבה, וזכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים, יעמוד לנו לזרענו, שלא תמוש התורה מפינו מפי זרענו וזרע זרענו עד עולם, ותתקיים בנו, ותעלך תנחה אותך, ושוכבך תשמור עליך, והקיצות היית שיחך, יביר בימיך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים, אורך ימים ימינה, ושמאלה עושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז ועמו ייתן, אדוני יברך ושמו ושלום. יסקדל ויסקדש שמי רבו, יומו דיו עשי ביסחרת הולך, הימי סייה ולעסוק יסום לחיי עומו, ולמבנה קרתת ירושלם לשכללי חלה בגבה, ולמקר פרוכן הנוכרו מן הערה, ולעצבו פרוכן את ישמעי ליעזרה. וימליך קודשו בריך ובמלכוס אלי יקרא, בחיי חון וביומי חון ובחיי דחו בייס ישראל, בעגלה ובזמן קריב ימרו אמן. היי שמי רבו בברך ביומם ביומי יומיו, יסברך וישתבח ויספר וישלמם ויסנשא, ויש הדור ויש עלה ויש הלו שמי דקודשה בריכות, ואילה מנקו ברכסה ושירסה, תוש בחסה ונחמסה, ואמירן ביומה לימדו אמין, על ישראל ועל רבנן ועל תלמידיון, ועל קומן דיוסקים, ותלמידי תלמידיון, ועל קומן דיוסקים ביוריית הדיבי עשרה קדישה הדין, ודיבי כל הצער ויעשר, יעילו הונו חון שלום הרבו, חינו וחיס דברחמין וחי נריך, חינו וזונו רביכי, ופור קנה מן קדום אביון דמשמעיה וערב ימרו אמן. יהי שלום רבה משמעיה וחיים טובים עלינו ועל כל ישראל ימרו אמן. עשה שלום במרומיו ויעשה שלום עלינו ועל כל ישראל ימרו אמן. שימת הערב, מה זאת?
Mazel Tov, Yeh Elanu, Yeh Elanu, Lecho Yisrael.
Mazel Tov, everyone. I apologize for being a bit confused. It's a terrible feeling, but okay. Welcome. I haven't seen you in a very long time. What's going on? Shalom Aleichem. Wonderful, wonderful. Good. Sorry, I can't see very. I got a migraine right before you came, but I'm having some vision problems. Okay, everybody, please make a bracha. Is I tear it up? Atereto, you there? Nani? Atere? Just ask Atere for some tea, maybe, for me, please. Yeah, something more. Yeah, thank you, sir. So you don't have anything magical? Magical. I know. I'm talking about eating. You have lots of things magical. I didn't mean Chas V'Shalom to doubt that for a moment.
I also doubt it sometimes.
Right, but now it's not one of those things.
Oops, sorry. one of the things magical I have is vitamin.
Yes, that is magical.
Thank you, sir. I didn't know which type Baba wanted. What? Yeah.
What have you got, sweetie?
I have mint, I have lemon ginger, and fennel.
Okay, I'll take fennel.
Why no?
I'll take fennel, please.
What?
Can I have the Gemara, please, while we're... Thanks. Give this to Ateret, please, and ask her to put it on my bed. Can you pass me a small piece of cheesecake? Yeah. I hope it's a good idea. I'm feeling very nauseous. Anyway, so while you guys enjoy and eat, just want to review some of the Gemaras that we had at the end of Tamid, because we closed only with the Sugya and Kinim. But it's all Gemaras that we read through, and it should form some of the background that we should just remember in finishing the Masechet. Yeah? Sorry? I'm going to read the story of the Rebbe and then the story of Alexander the Great. So, okay, so just those two sugyas were very, sorry? Very beautiful. So one of the things that was striking in the Masechet Tamid, which will appear again in the Mishnah and Midos, is the idea that the Mishmar itself is actually a Din Shmira that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as Levi and to Aaron Ubonav as Kayanim. And that because of that, we have a very strong hakpada on an honor guard for the Mishkan and for the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the things that we learned was that falling asleep at the Mishmar can get you into major trouble. So the kind of trouble it can get you into is that not only did you get beat up rather painfully, but there was a reshus, the memuna, to light your clothes on fire. And that this happened, the Gemara talks about the Maisa, where people would ask, what's that horrible noise of screaming coming from the base of Mikdash? Oh, it's just another guy who's being burned. So, yes. So the
Tom, maybe.
So the Tom,
we got a fire in the base of Mikdash.
So the Rebbe sees from this a beautiful thing. His Rebbe says like this, Omar Rebbe, Ashreyem Rishonim, it's a tremendous madriga for those who were zeicha to be in the Beis HaMikdash, that they would not compromise the sense of din that they deserve, and they always wanted to look for tochachot. So that even ones shena, which a person falls asleep, you know, it can happen to anybody. And afapiken, they would not be mevater. I may fall asleep. So they would not be mevater. And they would get beaten up, and that's what they wanted. And koshikate, shaloh alonis shena alachas kama v'kama. Just imagine on things which shouldn't happen to anybody. Alachas kama v'kama, that they would be bevakesh din. And this is Tanya Rebbe Yomer Ezu Derech Yishara, she yivor lo adam ohevet atochachot. The best midah that a person can have is to choose to want to face the truth. As long as people are open to rebuke, then they can learn what is right. And therefore, tova uvracha ba'im ba'olam, v'ra'a mistaleket ba'olam, shenemar ulamochichim yin'am, v'alehem tavo birkat tov. A beautiful closing for something that on the surface people don't take with seriousness. They think it's just the logistics. It's not logistics in the Beis HaMikdash. Each element of the Beis HaMikdash is there in order to bring out what it means to be a human being who is Shayach Taved HaShemayim. That was one beautiful part. The last part of the Masechta, which is the very closing of the Gemara, is the amazing interaction between Alexander the Great and the Chachomim. And he gave them permission to speak openly, the way that they felt about the questions that he would ask. And they told him the truth, which is the same idea. They told him the truth, and he told them, you know, how are you not worried about telling me the truth? You know, I could have you wiped out with a snap of the fingers. And they said, because a king doesn't make promises lightly. He said, we can talk, and we talk. And so because of that, in the end, he gave them golden colors and beautiful begotten, and he ended up respecting them. But what it is that he went on to learn, and what it is that he learned from them, was that the very things that he took as the way in which he was asserting his gedula, and he saw that gedula as being predicated on the nevius of Daniel, that described him, basically, described what it was that he would achieve for Greece. And because of that, as the Yerushalmi says, he was able to reach the very high atmosphere, if not beyond. And it's not clear because it says he saw the entire planet as a ball beneath him. And because of that, the Gemara says that he was always depicted as holding a ball in his hand. That ball was his vision of planet Earth from above. That is outside of the atmosphere. It doesn't say how he managed it. But in any event, I mean, we find the same thing happening with Avram Avinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the ability to have the perspective of the earth from the outside, which says, Vayotzio Samachutza. And as we started the discussion tonight, that is the inyan of Aved Zkechovim, that we were learning in the closing Mishnayos, and that the Shir Shoyom, where we talk about the Kion Nekamot Hashem, is very deeply part of the growth of humanity in being able to learn their place in the universe. Be able to learn one's place in the universe is to be able to see the earth from the outside, which only recently we were zeicha to, and which changes tremendously the perspective of a human being. It was given to those two umays, to Avram Avinu and to Alexander the Great, which is an amazing thing. And what it was that Chazal attempted to teach him was he viewed himself as a tremendous chacham, a student of Aristotle, representative of the godless, which is Greece, a tremendously powerful person, as he asserts in the Gemara. It says in Daniel that I'm going to expand all across the globe, and I'm not asking for your opinion about whether I will. It's a given that I will. If I ask you a question, I only want to know your advice, the logistics. Don't give me your opinion about whether I can or not, because I will. And it turned out that he, in fact, did. And that was his sense of Gevura. And his other sense was of tremendous, wow. His other sense was of his immense wealth, and that he had conquered Kol Olam Kulei and was endlessly powerful in terms of his money. All of those three things, the Chachamim argued with him. And they said to him that the idea of a Chacham is Arayas HaNeilad and not the Darga of his own Chachma. But the idea of Gevura was the ability to be Eimed on himself, a Kevish as Yitzra. And the idea of Isher was the Sameach B'Chokho, almost like the Mishnah in Avos. There's a lot of discussion why when it comes to Ezeo Chacham Aloy Min Mikol Adam, we don't quote the Mishnah. It was meant specifically for him, which was, that wasn't the issue for him. But in any event, in a remarkable twist, I mean, what this turns out to be is a tikkun of the idea of Al Yitalel Chacham B'Chokhmato, Al Yitalel Gibor B'Gvurato, Al Yitalel Ashir Osho, Kim Bezot Yitalel Amitalel Haskel V'Yado Ha'Otsi, Yani Hashem Osechesed V'Yemes Mishpat B'Kerov Ha'Oretz K'Dei L'Chafatz Dinun Hashem. And this became quite amazing because this ends up being a theme in the story of the actual building of the Beis Hamikdash, which is built around the city of Alexandria, which is named after Alexander. And the city, which ends up becoming Alexandria with its immense library, with its chokhmah, with everything that stood for that, becomes in the Gemara and Erech in a beautiful story in which there were kelim in the Beis Hamikdash that needed repair. And one of those kelim was the beautiful flute that they used and which became damaged, and they sent, you want to put the lotion of the Gemara here, although somebody put a tack through it. I just have to find. I'm sure somebody can do this better than me because I'm not seeing very well, so if you don't mind just finding the Gemara in the Erech. Sorry. I'm doing my best under the circumstances.
Number one, remember.
Ah. Wonderful. Got it? Thank you. So the Gemara says a beautiful story that there were various kelim that they sent to Alexandria specifically. And there was this beautiful Avuv. That was the Khalil that was used for the Shira, which was their Mimot Moshe. And they attempted to make it more beautiful, covering it up with gold and so on. And it ended up not sounding good. They took off the gold and it went back to the way it was. It was a beautiful tzil. These were the symbols that we were talking about, which is the opposite of the Khalil. And they became Nivgam. So they brought people from Alexandria to fix it. And these were the world's greatest instrument makers. They came and they fixed it. It didn't sound right. So they had them break it again to the way it was. There was also a machteshet, and everything the Beis Hamikdash was musical. That's the amazing thing. So the idea of even a shovel that had 1,000 different tones that it could generate, it was like this magical shovel, which was in the Beis Hamikdash that we read about. And another thing that was musical was the kli that was used to grind the keteres. And the keteres was itself a product of music. because Akol Yafel Bsamim. So the music that was played at the time that the Keteris was made was part of what allowed the Keteris to smell the way that it did. And if it didn't have the correct sounds, then it would not smell like the Keteris. So the actual resonance of the material of the Keteris was absolutely essential for the subtlety of the smell of the Keteris. And remember, of course, that the smell of Keteris is the nature of shame to Chazal. All concepts of shame are concepts of also ideas, which is sound, are ideas of smell. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Avraham Avinu, Agadla Shemecha, it means like a bottle of perfume. This is true everywhere you'll see. And that's because in nature, the way in which the name of a thing and its presence is announced is through pheromones. It's through smell. And that's the way each thing identifies itself as a unique entity. If you have a good enough nose, you can tell the difference between every single Baal Chai on the face of the earth, billions and billions of individuals. The fish can actually identify every other fish. Rambo Shandel is pointing out that voice prints are unique. Fine, true, very good. So what happened? So they asked, it got broken, and they sent again, Umanim Alexandria Shom Mitzrayim, the Tikno, and they fixed it. The Keteris did not work after they fixed it. So they told him to break it again. These are the kelim that were still around from the Migdash HaRishon that became damaged in the war. The kibbutz of Beis HaMigdash were taken by Bavel and were returned by Koresh. It says that he returned all of those kelim. And they were never able to be fixed. They were never able to be fixed, but they did their job. And it brings several psukim to talk about this. And it brings other cases where they sent to woman in Alexandria. And it says that in the end, it teaches you, Al Yitalel Chacham B'Chochmato, Al Yitalel Gibor B'Gurato. And this is exactly the same thing that we had by Alexander himself. Mechanics is not necessarily the solution. So that when the Gemara talks about here in Kachin, the development of things in terms of din, tochacha, breakdown of das, if you try to do it artificially, the deepening of das, if it's allowed to remain itself in touch with what is, which relates to Rebbe's Maimer of the concept of tochachas, of emes, which the Beis HaMikdash is part of the beautiful closing of Masechet Kinim. Masechet Kinim closes with the key word to the entire Masechet. It's in the wrong order because the printer puts it in the wrong order, but anyway. But the closing of Kinim, which is in the middle here on Daf Chav Ches, but it's really supposed to be at the end, which is B'yashishim Chochma V'orach Yamim Tuna. The word Chochmah is the word which the Gemara says stands for Seder Kodesh, Bichlal. This we learn out from the Pasuk, V'haya emunah sitecha chosin yishuais, Chochmah zvadas. Chochmah is Seder Kodesh. Why Chochmah is Seder Kodesh is not immediately evident. We'll have to figure that out. Das is Seder Tyrus. And at the end we have over here, Yishishim Chochmah V'Orech Yamim Tvuna. And the very next thing that we have, of course, is the beginning, which will start as soon as everybody catches up here with Kinim. Not with Kinim, I'm sorry, with Midas. And we will, Bezrat Hashem, begin Seder Tyrus. So this is a perfect ending. It's exactly where we want to be, where we're transitioning between Chochmah and Tvuna into Das. The amazing thing is that the elements of the Inyonim of Seder Chochmah have everything to do with sitting here in the Sukkah. Because of that, it's really the most perfect time imaginable. Last year we did Masechet Zvachim at this time, and we have the opportunity to do the entire Seder Kachim at this time. And remarkably, there are a number of inyanim that Chazal bring out about the nature of Sukkah, which relate directly to what it is that we just spoke about. As you know, Sukkis and the Beis HaMikdash are fundamentally related, right? Because first of all, Sukkis was the time of the actual Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash. It was Shivas Yomim. But that's one of the smallest in Yonim. And when we learn out the dinim of the Sukkah from the Beis HaMikdash, the dinim of the Sukkah, the height of what the Sukkah is supposed to be, we learn out from the Mishkan and later on from the Beis HaMikdash, because we keep the same interrelationship. We have, of course, the Anan HaKoved, which is the essence of Sukkahs, is the Anan, which was that which populated and created the presence of the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash. We have all of the dinim of Sukkah alone. You said not tonight. We have all of the dinim of Sukkah being miyuchad in the Beis HaMikdash as a special dinim. Shivas Yomim, the mitzvah of Arova. Very good. Maybe just take off that heavy duty jacket. Yeah. The dinim of Arova. All of these are aspects of the Beis HaMikdash. But if you take a look again, if somebody will do the search for me. It got out of order here also, which is not so good. So I can use page 1, 2, 3. So if you'll find me the Rabbi Nubachya at the end, I think it's more towards the end, I'll be very grateful. There's a number of them. But the aspect of the sukkah that I'd like to speak to you is also, interestingly enough, both of the aspects of kachin that we spoke about. It's both chokhmah and din. And another thing that it is, if you take a look at what it is that we celebrate, when we say atavachartanim, let me see. No. That's not what I want. No. That's not what I want. No. Yes, thank you. Yeah. So if you take a look at the Ata Bechartona, we have three madrigas of Ata Bechartona. We have Rav Amtona Mikol HaLashenes. What yontav is that? Can I get? It's Pesach. Svats lo yadati yashma, asirot yimishev seval shichmo. The entire idea of speech, being able to speak, and Yosef HaTzadik, who promised Paro he wouldn't tell him that he's not shayach to Lashon HaKodesh. That's the pasuk that we actually bring that talks about how it is that the Malach came and was melamed shivib l'shenes to Yosef. That's the Ramantona Mikol HaLashenes. And all of Pesach is about Lashon and speaking. Sipur, all of the dinim of Sipur, Agoda, and so on and so on. That Kidashtona b'mitzvotecha is what you understand? Kidashtona b'mitzvotecha is obviously Shavuos. There's only three regalim. So all the mitzvahs were given on Shavuos. So Kidashtona b'mitzvotecha is the Rambam says. This is the Bechir of Yisrael, the giving them of the mitzvahs. Then we have the third thing, which is the Keravtonu Malkinu L'Avedasecha. The Keravtonu Malkinu L'Avedasecha is the essence of Sukkot, which nobody realizes, and we'll have to talk about. But what it's saying clearly, it's not a coincidence that the Kiddusha of the Mishkan is the Moker of Sukkot, and also Sukkot is the Moker of the Chinuch of that Mishkan, that Mikdash. It's because Sukkot is the essence of Aveda, which needs to be, again, understood, because it doesn't seem to be on the surface, and yet this is the way that Chazal relate to it. So that means that, let me just read to you the Rabbi Nubachya. He goes to the Shalosh Regalim, Derech HaKabbalah, the Shalosh Regalim, he goes to the different Shalosh Regalim. Sukkis Kineged Midas Hadin. So Sukkis is precisely this concept of Din that Rabbi was talking about, is all Sukkis. And therefore, because of that, it's also Kineged the elements of Chochma, for some reason, says Rabbi Nubachya. So the idea of Chochmah is particularly the Lashon of Sukkah. Lashon Sukkah means to be Socha Ruach HaKodesh. Like it says Yiska. What is Yiska? The ability to see things Ruach HaKodesh. So too, Lamanik Rishma Yiska, Shesocha Ruach HaKodesh. Because of that, it says, Adonai Bam Sinai Bakodesh. Klomar V'Chochmah. And I will explain this to you. But the idea over here is, Hare mitzvah sukkah is remez l'chokhmah. Again, remember, chokhmah is the word for Seder Kachin. So that means that the two aspects that we just spoke about, Din and Kodesh, and Seder Kachin, are both innate in sukkah. We're not just looking for excuses to have the siyum tonight. This is the essence of circus. Ulekach dorshu kodesh besinai lo ne'emar. Therefore, Chazal say, don't read that kodesh appeared at Sinai. It was Sinai that appeared b'kodesh. Meaning what? Melamed shakadosh baruch hu mikomo shel olam ve'ein olamo mikomo. This teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the nature of space. Not space the way we usually mean it, but the concept of dimension, the ability to speak, to split things into separate coordinates. That mocker of that idea is the nature of Chokhmah itself. And therefore, Inyan Shu Makom Olamo, or Beit Olamo, is the reason that HaChokhmah Nirmezet BeBeit Shel Bereshit. The first base of Bereshit is the beginning of Bria. And it says, Hashem b'chokhmah yasad aretz, which means that everything begins with that first step of Chokhmah. And, points out Rabbi Nevachia, the sukkah is a bait. The sukkah is a bayit. So a sukkah, nikra bayit, shenema v'yakov nasa sukkot, ava yivin lo bayit. V'chein omer, b'chokhmah yivne bayit. Uchtiv, bait nitivot nitzava. And Chokhmah is by definition the nature of space because it's makefet v'sovevet atakol v'dugmata ot beit. Why is it ot beit? Shehi mukefet mishloshat stadim. Sukkah has to have three mechitzot, so it has the three sides of the beit. And that's keneged hechsher sukkah. Sounds crazy. Sounds like weird kind of stuff, right? But the beis of Bereshis is keneged hechsher sukkah, which is sholosh tefanis. Since it's shtayim kiyochatan, the shlishis afilu tefach, because of that, the shlishis afilu tefach is keneged the oketz of the base that sticks out in the other direction. Al uktsa shobet ayotse me'achorav, v'zeh mevo'ar. This is something that everybody understands. Well, not most people. But anyway, this is clear, says the Rebbe Nevachia. And it is very, very clear indeed. And I want to remind you as well, that the Beis HaMikdash is called HaMokim for the same reason. Sukkah is the Mokar of Mokim. Beis HaMikdash is the Mokar of Mokim. The two come from the same nature of Chochmah, which is the essence of the Seder Kochim and Aveda Bichlal. The reason that Bria has to begin with the idea of Chochmah is because what we mean by Chochmah, as it says in Koheles HaChacham, Inav Berosho, is the ability to see existence in the totality of its interrelationships. And that's the close of Kinim, which points out the difference between interrelationships and functionality that breaks down into artificial pieces, as opposed to the integration of things, which is the nature of true Chochmah. Integration of things is by definition the nature of dimension. So that as we become more and more sophisticated, we understand that space, which was always misunderstood throughout the, certainly from the time of Newton, was always misunderstood as sort of a place in which things happen. And only with the onset of the last step of classical physics was to create a deeper understanding of the nature of space as being itself that which is the interrelationship. So it's not as if things populate space. It's that they are the actual contents of what creates that space, such that that's the simple understanding of the difference of a gravitational field between Newton and Einstein, right? In Newton, you have things that somehow exert power on each other. In Einstein, you have the bending of space-time in such a way that things simply are what they are. It's the space that changes, not the relationship between the things through space, but rather that is what space consists of. That's a very, very profound and powerful difference. And it's because of that the nature of Bria is the nature of space, because that provides, even on the simplest level, even in Newtonian sense, space provides for the interrelationship of that which inhabits its coordinates. So the point is not that each thing has a coordinate, but that those coordinates are interrelated in what we call dimensionality. The deeper sense that the actual integration and interrelationship of those coordinates is the nature of Bria itself, is something which is much deeper, which relates to Shiras Hazinu, it relates to music, which is why it's called Shira, and it relates to Teshuva, which is also, as the Raven points out, is a getter of Shira, which is Shegeba, Al Shegyona is part of the Inyanim of Shira, is that things are only interrelated as an integrated whole in exactly the same way that music is integrated. And you cannot parse it. You can't take a note and call it music. It simply is a note. The music consists only of the integration and the development of the piece, which is the space of that totality. In that sense, Maaseh Bereishis is deeply wound up here with the Chochmah of Kachim, which ends with the description of its music and how it is that even the difference in terms of the mashal of a living thing and its breakup into its pieces is seen in terms of musical breakup, instrumental breakup. And as the Gemara Nerachin defines the development of the world between Olam Hazeh, Yimais HaMashiach, and Olam Haba, is entirely in terms of musical scales and the instruments that fill it. So is the Neivelt 7 strings? Is it 8 strings? Is it 10 strings? Those are different levels of reality. They're not just different musics. So they refer to different ilamas, which is shocking to people because, well, in the world does that mean? But obviously the level of interrelationship and the nature of space changes our level of reality, and on the simplest madrega, changes our perception of reality. So as we become more and more capable of Seicher B'ruach HaKedesh, which is the nature of Sukkot that the Rabbi Nivach is explaining, we become more and more perceptive about the nature of that Mokaim. Therefore, begin to inhabit the Mokaim, which is HaMokaim, which is the Beis HaMikdash, in which, not coincidentally, the nature of space is completely changed, the nature of space-time is completely changed, and that's why the Oren doesn't take up any space, and it's why in three-dimensional space it doesn't take up any space. It's the reason that the Ohel Moed is above normal measurements of time and reconstructs actual edus of the events that then become the Mokam, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in those events as if they're currently taking place. So it's the way that we experience a much different way of looking at space bichlal. Okay, so then that part is clear. We understand why that would be connected, the idea of space bichlal, the sukkahs, because it's indeed chokhmah, the same way that kachim is connected chokhmah. It's clear to us that that itself is the most powerful mocker of din, which Rabbi Nebach is taking for granted, he's not even explaining. But obviously, it's for exactly the same reason that the das of Zikne Amei Oret breaks down. Because what din is the interaction with reality that provides less and less of a space for that which doesn't have any space in the true Mokka. And so the less reality that's there, the less presence something has in terms of pure din. If something is absolutely din, then the slightest insanity about it, which doesn't allow it a place in the world, destroys it. And therefore, pure din, which was the ultimate chesed in terms of Maaseh Bereishis, which is to allow each thing to be only completely real and itself, was too much for the world to put up with, which is what required the Hikti Midas Rachamim to Midas Hadin in order to provide a solution to a world that was not yet a sukkah. And the concept of the sukkah was that you leave the world. That's the simplest meaning of a sukkah. You leave everything behind. Everything is over. And it's because of that that it's called the Chag HaAsifa. Chag HaAsifa is death. It's the reason that we read Kohelet, not because of the silly things that people say. Don't be happy because it's a happy time. Read something sad because you'll get too happy. I mean, that's like, Mamish, it's just shocking how off you can get. But obviously the point is that the mocker of Simchas Rabbeinu, as the Shlomo HaMelech describes, is exactly this nekuda. That's the idea of Tov Shem Mishem and Tov Yom HaMavet B'Yom Yivodo. Those are not artificial statements. That is a reality in which the acceptance of din and the clarity of what is real is the only thing that sof davar kol nishma. That sof is the ultimate sof, which is gizeh kol ha'adam, which is to be able to see a reality which is complete. And at that point, it's the same sof that the Rambam talks about in terms of Hilchos Teshuva. Sof Yisrael Lasos Teshuva, B'sof Galusam, that's gizeh sof kol ha'adam, that the Zohar identifies as the idea that was merumas in the Yamsuf, which is sof. It's the Yuma, the Sofa, in which all of the original visions that we have become part of an ultimate reality in which the individual himself is constantly Eisek and Asiyas Teshuva, Kedesha Yamut Vuhu Baal Teshuva, just in the same way that Yisrael is a developing reality that ends up with Teshuva. So fine, it means that we have the same ingredients that are there, and that these ideas of Chochma, of Din, of Koheles, who is all about Chochma, that's Shlomo HaMelech, who is Chochma Mikol Adam, and he speaks about the whole time, Chacham Einav Berosho, that's where we have Chochma with, that's his vision of Chochma, is somehow connected to the Chag HaSukkos, which is the time of Chochma. But that does not explain what the relationship of Sukkos is to Aveda. So a Sukkos in terms of Din, it's very clearly related mamish to the time of Din, correct? Because remember that we go in order from Rosh Hashanah to Yom HaKippurim to Sukkos. When I say we go from Yom HaKippurim to Sukkos, that's not just a time issue. We actually begin the story of Yoina, which is a story of sitting in a sukkah, on Mincha of Yom HaKippurim. We go from that story to the first integration that we have with the Hoshana. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yoina is he's got to learn to appreciate the trees, the animals, exactly what we have to learn on Chag HaSukkos. And it starts on Yom HaKippurim. And that's exactly what we read. And the idea of that concept is a meeting place, a different reality. And that different reality is a different perspective that is merumas in the Pasuk, Sakota L'Roshi B'Yom Nashek, says the Yerushalmi. Sakota L'Roshi B'Yom Nashek means not only a day of weaponry, it means the day of kissing. And it's a beautiful, beautiful Yerushalmi, because what the Yerushalmi says is, this is the holiday when two different realities kiss each other. Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Sukkos is always that transition. It's a period of ultimate transition. And because of that, as we said, it's Chag HaAsif. What it is that we talk about on Sukkos is all kinds of things that relate to Din. In case there was a Psak, Chas V'Chalila, V'Gezerah, Kasha, so we go into a Golos, and Sukkos should provide a solution to Chiyah V'Visa, because someone goes into Golos, it's as if he died. We actually read on the same day of Yom HaKippurim, that accounts for all the, that and Shabbos account for all of the changes in the Hashanah, because we have to say Erech Shui, which is B'Yom Giliti Pitzon Pish'i, on the day that Yom HaKippurim was Chal, we have to read that in the Hashanah, because we're reliving Yom HaKippurim in this new reality of the Sukkah, which translates Yom HaKippurim into a different reality of which we become aware of the very tshuva that we were being Isaac in that had no place in the world. So it's completely interrelated to Giliti Betzom Pish'i. And because of that, again, it's not very well known, but the Medrash Psik that says that the reason that we keep Sukkos now is because we lost the Anane HaKovet with the Maisa Ega. And only after the first days after Yom HaKippurim, where for those first 5 days there was a busy time, which we don't begin Yom HaRishon, there was a busy time in which we were ready to collect all of the material for the Mishkan. The moment that we began the Esek in the Mishkan, which is Chag HaSukkos, is the moment that the Anani HaKovet were restored. And because of that, Ki B'Sukkos HaShavtis B'Nei Yisrael becomes B'Davka on the 15th day of Tishrei, which is exactly the time of the Anani HaKovet and the building of the Mishkan. So the two are mamish, so profoundly interrelated. Okay, so that I understand. That Sukkos is then makes sense because that's the nature of Chochmah, and that's the time of the year that it occurs, and those are the parshas that we read at this time of the year, These are the times in which it's possible for us to get down to the basics of what it is that provides us what we need to know about ourselves to be able to function. The entire Torah up until these parshiyos, you are beginning to fall asleep already.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
No, he was speaking very quickly.
Yeah? With his eyes?
No, it's the hand.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Maybe it's better to listen to type. I don't know. I mean, I very much appreciate the typing. Okay, very good. Well, maybe I should be. I haven't said a bracha because I can eat anything. I'll try a little bit. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Borei Nehem Yizonot. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Asher Kidishonu B'Mitzvah Yisrael B'Tzivonu. But the question, I was explaining this. Remember that the Ramban says in Kitavon that Moshe Rabbeinu basically has announced that I've completed giving you Kol HaTorah Kula. And he says, "Siviti lachem, whatever it was that I could, all of the chukim, all of the mishpatim, I've taught you, I've got nothing else to teach you." And as we've always asked, that doesn't make any sense because mitzvah number 612 and mitzvah number 613 are still left for Nitzav and Vayelech, right? We have the mitzvah Hakel, we have the mitzvah Tziva Sefer Torah, which is the Shira. Kisvu lachem is Hashira Hazayis. Now, how could Ramban say, "I already told you everything that I need to tell you"? But the point is that everything after Kitavon is what we call Meida Brit. It's the things that you need to be aware of in order to understand what it really means to be human and what it means to be able to be Nishmas L'Brit. So you need to become aware of the nature of choice, of Ubacharta B'chayim, of the way that all choice has to do with the nature of life. You need to become aware of the possibility of teshuvah. And that's Kiya mitzvah azot lo rechokai michem, and so on. It's all speaking about the inyanim of teshuvah. You need to become aware of the way that the world is constructed of music and of song. That becomes shiras hazino that embodies Kol HaTorah Kula. You need to gain a completely different vision of yourself. Those parshas from Mechuvan, specifically for Rosh Hashanah, in terms of choice, which was the day of the first choice, in terms of teshuva, which becomes Yom HaKippurim, which is the essence of an olam that was created with a hay. Remember, it's created kibuka Hashem tzur alamim, is the interrelationship of the yom nashek of the yud and the hay. The hay is the part which is easy to fall out of. The olam hazeh was nivra b'hay. Why? Because it's so easy to fail. Not only is it easy to fail, there's no way out but through failure. Because what it means, and that's why Kohelet says, "Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaaseh tov v'lo yachata." So therefore, al titzdak harbe. This is the way the Mefarshim understand it. The Ebenezer speaks this out b'feirush. Al titzdak harbe. Don't attempt to try to believe that you are going to manage to be perfect. Nobody will ever be perfect. It's a remarkable assertion. So that means that the very fact of perfection is itself an imperfection. And this is what the Gemara says. Why did the Malchus of Shaul not survive? It was too perfect. The whole essence of David HaMelech's Malchus is imperfection. The constant, that's the element of Yehuda, is the Tov La'Adeis L'Hashem, failure and reconstruction. The more shocking the failure, the more powerful is the reconstruction. The shock of Adam Rishon and the Gan Eden and the need for 6,000 years of work on reconstruction is the essence of a world which has to self-organize and discover its own way. In exactly the same way that evolution is based on failure, so to speak, and being outdone and going extinct, so too is the development of humanity based, again, as Carlos points out, it's all about competition. So how meaningful could it be if it's competition? If it's competition, then you have no right to any of it, because then it has nothing to do with the contribution to the nature of reality. You're just used. If that's the way you want to live, you're welcome to it, says he. But that means that you're going to fail, and therefore that is what the nature of Aveda will be about, going from Yom Kippurim to a world of Asifa, in which ultimately that failure becomes Psoles Goren V'Yekev, which builds out of the Psolet, builds that which provides your world. Remarkably. It's Psolet, is that which is useless, which you were going to throw out. Don't throw it out. That's going to be what you're going to use to build your new world, which is amazing. It's a completely different way of experiencing your life in Olam Hazeh and understanding the difficulties of the integration of a life of Olam Hazeh together with Olam Haba. We'll see. So the thing that we've left open is, okay, but how does that explain the nature of the relationship of Sukkah to the aspect of Kachim, which is Aveda? It's not just about Chochmah, it's about actual Aveda. What is the nature of the Aveda of Sukkahs? Take a look again at the Seder HaTfilah, which is the Reman Todom Mikol HaLashreinois, Kiddush Todom B'Tzvei Secha, V'Kerav Todom Malkinu L'Aveda Secha. Note the difference between the first two and the third. The first two refer to changes that were made in us. Reman Todom Mikol HaLashreinois, Kiddush Todom, Kiddusha, and Reimamos. The third is not about us. The third is about Kirav Tanu. And note that the word Kirav Tanu is the same word that we use for Korbanot. So in other words, there's something about Avodatecha, A, that has to do with Malkenu, which we didn't speak about in the others, and B, which has to do with a relationship. It's not about me, in the sense of my own ability to be Romaim and Loshing. It's not about me in terms of being able to be Kodesh. It's about us for the first time. And once it's about us, then we can talk about Shimcha HaGadol. The Shem HaGadol is now part of what we are because of the fact that it's about us. That's a very, very different thing. That's why the Beis HaMikdash is the mocker, essentially, to the Inyonim of Sukkah. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash, as the Rambam brings the halacha of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that Haita Sham B'Migdash Simcha Yisera. The Simcha of Sukkot is not simply that it happens to take place in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a din in the Beis HaMikdash. So that the concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva as relating to Sukkot relates only because it's B'Migdash and Simcha Yisera. Huh? So that means that this is the mikor, apparently, of that nature of Aveda. And I would like to see how that is. So if we take a look, Baruch, sorry. Could I have a Tanakh? Do you have a Tanakh there, or at least a Chumash? Yes, your Chamisha Chumshei Torah. I know he's got a chumash because I use it. You have a chamisha chumshei Torah. I've used it here. Because I need two separate chumashim. Okay, if you want to bring Vayikra and thank you. Excellent. There we go. Ta-da. Sorry. So what I would like to do, which I've spoken about to you in that very brief shir, let's go over it again, is to listen to the way in which the Torah presents the mitzvahs in Parashas Emor. And we'll see something very surprising about the nature of Sukkah. What's wrong? Is there a problem with this? Huh? Please, again, just briefly, let me. What happened to David? Don't tell me David escaped. So please listen once again, just briefly, to the way that the different Mu'adim are presented in Parshat Emor. And this is the Parsha that we read, Shor Kesef Ha'ez, Yivaleit. So we start off like this. Dabro b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem Mu'adei Hashem, asher tikru otam mikrei Kodesh, elehem Mu'adei. We start off with the Mu'ad of Pesach, and it goes like this. Yom HaRishon, Mikra Kodesh, Yelachem, Komelechet Avodah Lo Ta'asu, and then talks about the Korbanos, and then we learn about Shavuos. And on Shavuos, it says basically the same exact idea. U'krasim etzem ha'yom hazeh, Mikra Kodesh, Yelachem, Komelechet Avodah Lo Ta'asu, these are the Korbanos you bring. And it talks about Rosh Hashanah. Chodesh HaShvi'i, Ve'echad L'chodesh, same idea. Here too, it's Be'echad L'chodesh, Yelachem Shabbaton, Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh, Yom HaKippurim. Ach Be'asol HaChodesh HaShvi'i Yom HaKippurim, Mikra Kodesh, Yelachem, Minitam Et Nafshotecha. Then we get to Chag HaSukkot. Now listen carefully to the differences between Chag HaSukkot and the other Yomim Tov. V'davar Hashem Moshe L'mor, Kaber al b'nei Yisrael l'mor b'chamishah sayom b'chodesh ha'shvi'i hazeh, Chag HaSukkot shivat yamim la'ashem. There's no Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. There's Mikra Kodesh, which is not Lachem. Instead, it's a Chag la'ashem. Shivas yamim takriv l'ishel la'ashem. And then it ends. Eile mo'adei Adonai, asher tikru otam Mikra Kodesh, Akriv Yishal Adonai, Olam Mincha, Zevach Unezachim, Dvar Yom B'Yomo, and sounds really wonderful. Eile Mo'adei Hashem, it's completion, right? We just learned all the Mo'adei Hashem. And then we have the most absurd addition, as if we made a mistake in editing, and we somehow weren't able to delete the previous pasuk, so we had to throw it in afterwards. Oh yeah. Ach b'chamisha sayom l'chodesh ha'shvi'i b'asbechem etu asa'oretz t'chogu es chag ha'shem shivas yomim b'yom ha'rishon shabbaton b'yom ha'shmini shabbaton and then u'lekachtem l'chem b'yom ha'rishon pri etzadar kapot marim anaf etzavot v'chagozem otzo chag la'ashem shivas yomim b'ashana hukat ulon l'doretechem b'asukot tishvu shivat yomim l'man yedu doretechem v'idabri Moshe s'mo'adei Hashem l'b'nei Yisrael. How in the world did we say Eile Mo'adei Hashem before we threw in? Why do we have Ach as if it's a, all of a sudden we're introducing something totally new? Okay. So it's clear, therefore, that the Inyan of Chag HaSukkot is a, by the way, the same thing is in Parshas Pinchas. We talk about the Korbanos, same thing, Chag LaHashem. You have to keep the Chag LaHashem. Why in the world this would be a Chag LaHashem? Is not at all clear? Is it different than the other Chagim? Why isn't it Mikra Kodesh Yelachem? Starts off with the Chag LaHashem. Your part in the action is that since this is the time, therefore you should be at the same time. I have my Chag. You're supposed to have a Chag Ba'asim. So let's get together on the deal. You keep that. At the same time, I'm keeping mine. What that means clearly is two completely different targets, right? Maze? Zemadim. Okay? Chutz bize, yesh kam ochel tov. Bos pechem et tvoat haaretz. Zepish with David. Yeah, that's right. I think this doesn't seem very crispy. I think they're gone. They've been out for 2 hours. Yeah. You didn't carry around a fresh one with you? Let's see. It's this special Belgian quality, right? Mm. These are crispy. Okay.
You're taking over my whole bag. Shoot the chocolate.
No, no, I'll be good. I'll be good. I won't take everything. So what this apparently shows us is that the transitional chag, this interrelationship that we have of Vikir Avtanu, is literally Vikir Avtanu. In other words, you have to be dovuk specifically to Olam HaZeh in terms of Os Bechem, and only in that context am I able to be Makariv you, to be able to be Tochogu Chag LaHashem. But that means that there's one new entity now, and that is that dveikus between a level of reality that would be yours in terms of your natural way of experiencing reality, which is Bos Pechem. And this the Chinuch speaks out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity to use the type of simcha that we would discover in our own normal life, and to be able to dedicate it to something that is part of an Olam that we're able to see with a different perspective. Which, again, on the simplest level, everybody recognizes that the nature of Sukkah, whether you're talking about on the Darg of the Zayar, of the Tachas Tzila, the Bein Musa, or just the idea of being outdoors, being part of nature, and being able to look up at the sky instead of your air conditioning unit, and is a different perspective. And it's a much deeper sense of having a place in the universe beneath that sky, which is what we were speaking about before, of the socha. So whether the socha is purely in psychological terms, or whether the socha is in the deepest terms of a new level of awareness, it is a special time. The question is, how far up we go with the socha? Now remember that this interrelationship that we have with the idea of the Kerav Tanu, that the Kerav Tanu is so profound because it means it's a Kerav Tanu to the Chag Hashem. What is the Chag Hashem? Why would there be a Chag LaHashem specifically? Is that Chag LaHashem is the relationship of exactly the time of the year that we just went through. And to remember, Rosh Hashanah is essentially Hayom Harat Olam. What's the Hayom Harat Olam? Is in terms of providing Adam HaRishon is opportunity to choose. It was the day of the creation of Adam. That's the day of Rosh Hashanah. So Bria started 5 days before that. This was the day of Harat Olam in terms of giving Adam a chance. It was the day of choice, which was not the Ubacharta B'chaim, which we're told should have been our choice. It was actually a Ubacharta B'mavis, which becomes Koheles and Asifa. It's the chance for Adam to then find tikkun. That's Adam's involvement in the hay. That hay is the world, and of course that was the reason for his choice. The reason for that choice was the recognition, which was a real recognition, that in order for the world to make sense, it only can make sense if I allow it to develop. I have to be the one who develops it. The mistake is a very subtle mistake. That subtle mistake is the fact that ultimately what needs to develop is exactly the relationship that develops anyway at the end. Let me explain. In the same way that the Aveda, when I talk about Aveda, okay, Adam was put into Gan Eden for what purpose? La'avdo, or the Shomra. That La'avdo, as Rashi explains, was the Aveda that it says in the Pasuk. The Aveda that says in the Pasuk is Ve'ed Yaleh Min Haaretz Lashkot Et Kol Pnei Haaretz, and Ko Siach Hasada Terem Yitzmach. Why? Because Adam Ayin La'avodet Adamah, and therefore there was no rain. Tfilo Im Tirasha. Why was there no rain? Ki Adam Ayin. And why Is Adam necessary? As Rashi says, there was no consciousness. Without consciousness, there is no creation. So you must have the Adam who is capable of lahakir betovatan shel gishamim, v'lada'at shem tzorech habriyot, u'lehitpalel aleihem, and then you can have rain. That means that the first thing that Adam was given was, as the Yerushalmi says, a mitzvah aseh. That mitzvah aseh came together with the mitzvah lo ta'aseh. The mitzvah aseh was avoda. What was that avoda? To make sure that the world works. Making sure that the world works is the fundamental level to be committed to life, which means, like your shame, tzorech abriyot, bringing water. That's what Sukkot is about. It's the time of the din on water. It's the time that we're mispalel on water. It's the time that we do the nizach hamayim, which becomes the shar into the Beis HaMikdash of Shar HaMayim. The very same shar, which we're going to see in Midas, is the place where the water will come out from at the time after Mechamas Gogel Magog, when water sprouts out of the Beis HaMikdash instead of coming into the Beis HaMikdash from all of the water that we brought. And what do we do with that water? Absolutely nothing. We make this immense Simchas Beis HaShoeva to achieve zero. The water would have gone exactly where we pour it out from the Mizbeach, goes right back where we took it from, through the Shisim. So what is the Aveda? And that's the point of Adam's entire reality. The whole thing works out anyway, whether you do it or whether it does itself. It's exactly the same result. This is what Hazinu is all about, the Kal Vachomer. You will not change anything. The only difference you will make is for yourself. And that's Mordechai to Esther, and that's Shamayim Va'aretz, and that's the Kal Vachomer that Moshe Rabbeinu makes. You think that if the world functions in complete chaos and with complete probabilistic effects, and it manages to evolve as it does, so perfectly, as if somebody's pulling all the strings. So you think that you really need to pull the strings. And this is as Voltaire pointed out. There's this one little 5 foot high biped. These days, that's how tall people were. There's this one little 5 foot high biped that actually thinks that it's not part of the world and it really controls things. But it's an amazing craziness, right? In which everything else manages to find its way. But this is the only thing that can't find its way. It has to actually create it. And the point is, therefore, that whether you do the job that you think you're setting out to do, which in the end, as Shlomo HaMelech says, is just another part of evolution. In the same way that you evolve your bodies without needing to put any effort into it, although you suffered to high hell doing it. And this is the Gemara that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks every Nivra whether it wants to be and what shape it wants to be. Because in the end, it's the development of each life form that is the essence of Ma'aseh Bereishis. It's its own choice, so to speak, because it's the competitive process that it goes through to discover itself. So the aspects of yourself, which are a tiny little bit, remember, in terms of what you share with the great apes, the difference between your DNA and that DNA is tiny. Very few differences account for the differences of humanity. Right? So if you really, really think that all of the immense struggles that you put in life in order to discover yourself, and you make the mistake of thinking that that is the main information of your life, that is such a tiny proportion of the information of your life that it's barely visible. So the fact that you think you have to put your entire life into a struggle, which turns out to be an absurd struggle of who gets what money, who gets what degree, who gets what honors above the other person. I mean, the most childish type of hevel avolim that Koheles points out. This is what you need to do in order to make the world your own? You really think so? So the non-awareness of what's going on in a world of mechanics never bothers us. That's the amazing thing. We take for granted that we live in a world which is hopelessly more complex than we have any awareness of. We managed to live for thousands of years as a species without knowing anything about the laws of nature, certainly without discovering that there was a microcosm that we never even suspected, and that everything that's going on is going on that level and not on the level of the physics that we're used to. And somehow or other, we managed to get along perfectly well. And when Adam Rishon lives in a Gan Eden in which there's no awareness of mechanical cause and effect whatsoever, it's no difference at all between our own lack of awareness of the microcosmic effects and Feynman diagrams, vis-a-vis his own life of being completely unaware of the fact that there's a mechanical level to reality that provides for the fetal development of Shnayim Olulamita V'Arba Yardu. Never occurred to him that you need to form babies somewhere. They just pop into existence. In exactly the same way that we lead this magical life in which things just pop into existence because we think that they're cause and effect. As it turns out, they're not cause and effect. They're statistical things that happen because it's almost impossible that the statistics should be the other way. But in terms of what's possible, it's just as possible to fill up your tire and have all the air go into one little spot and tire burst open because the molecules didn't particularly spread out the way they do just because of the chaotic banging of molecules against each other. That's all just probability. It's not a law of nature like people thought it was, right? So that's 100 years out of date, although most people haven't figured it out yet. But the point is, no, this is the meaning of the Kal Vachomer. The meaning of the Kal Vachomer is, look, bottom line is, did you ever plant one thing and have it turn into something else just because of a random mutation of DNA? And instead of wheat, it turns out to be oranges? No. Okay, why not? Because it doesn't happen that way. Thank you. The same thing is going to be true of you. You think that you have everything worked out and it's going to change something. It's not. The end result is going to work out exactly the same. Don't disturb yourselves. This was the essence of what Adam could have chosen. In other words, you can, theoretically, if you take reality and din, honesty, tochacha, clearly enough, to understand, wait a minute, why am I making the absurd mistake to think of myself as being something that is actually a source of its own existence, feeling no sense of vulnerability as if I belong here, instead of being in a state of utter shock that I exist? Something is wrong with me. And that's the obvious first step. Something is very wrong with you. So in the 6 hours that it takes to get from that point to Shabbos, which would have been Mizmar Shir Yom HaShabbos, which is what we end with, and that, as the Mefarshim all say, that's all that it would have taken. That was enough to work out what it means to be human. But you don't want to work out what it means to be human. You want to control and go through the steps so that you can really feel you did it yourself. Okay, die, 6,000 years, Zeh Sifrei Shel Adam HaRishon, all the generations and everything they have to go right ahead. And then, of course, we have a Kabbalah Soter, exactly. This is what you guys like. Live the same kind of life. It's got to be with Kfiat Tova. And without that, you can't manage because you refuse to be vulnerable. Okay, fine. But that means that the nature of what it is that we do is entirely this concept of finding the Aveda in terms of mind. And that's exactly what we need to do. So we begin with the understanding of the Chag Lashem as being the celebration of the provision of consciousness to Adam. Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim. Why is that Chag Lashem? Because that's the first instant that Maaseh Bereishis works. Without it, nothing can exist. Without consciousness, and this is the deeper meaning, Rabbi Yisai, of ki Adam ayin la'avedas ha'adamah, where does yesh come from in the world? Ayin. Yesh me'ayin. What is that ayin? Adam. Adam, ayin, la'avedas ha'adamah. That means that the yesh that we have in the world is the result of the Ayin of Adam. So that until there's that clarity of the way in which the Adam himself becomes that which provides for Bria, it is absolutely absurd. This is not esoteric nonsense. This is simple physics. It is absurd to discuss the nature of reality without consciousness. Is that not so? There is no nature of reality. So all that there is distribution, random distribution. Eid Yale, that's all that it is. The Eid is that random distribution. The Anan, on the other hand, the Anan is an investment, and it represents, because of that, the Shekhinah. And it represents that which Adam brings about. And it represents what Aaron HaKohen brings about. Anane HaKovet. Why? Because the only thing that provides for life is investment, which turns randomness into something specific. So that means that what would previously have been random, which was the distribution of water molecules in the atmosphere, which was the Eid Yale, becomes now an Onan through the input of energy and through the input of Tefillah. That becomes the symbol of the Ashras HaShekhinah, which is the nature of a mutual investment in the nature of reality, without which there literally is no reality. To talk about a reality of being a bunch of non-discrete things, because there is nothing discrete in terms of physics, and simply forces that interrelate with each other at random and try to describe a universe based on those forces, is absolutely nonsensical. The measurements that we take of the Bria and the way in which we understand a Bria is a function of our own consciousness, nothing else. And what it is that consciousness is aware of is simply the fact of consciousness. It's not aware of anything outside of itself, because there is no particular shape to anything outside of itself. This is an extremely important element to understand. Adam Ayin is really the truth. It's not some weird kind of esoteric nonsense. It's the nature of reality. No Adam, no specific measurement of what the universe is. Therefore, this is the Chag Lasha.
What is the universe without Adam?
Random distribution of forces, that's all. Which for all intents and purposes is absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Because random fluctuations can fluctuate out of nothing. They can come out of a quantum vacuum. So there's nothing there at all. That's the beauty of it. That's the whole point that the Arizal makes. You're talking about an evacuation of space to allow for a dot, which has no dimensionality, which we call the Big Bang. This is how he described it, the singularity, which then expands and provides everything out of absolutely nothing. So there is nothing there. So the yesh that exists is entirely in terms of the Adam Ayin La'avedas Adama. That took 6,000 years nearly for Adam to begin to understand that it was meant very seriously. And therefore the lotasa that followed the commitment to tefillah had to be taken with the same seriousness that also took nearly 6,000 years to understand. What is the lotasa? It's the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam. You can mess this world up royally and nobody is going to fix it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Adam around, shows him the world, and says, look how beautiful and balanced it is. Don't ruin it, because I've given it into your hands. I'm not going to come back and fix it. There's not going to be another creation that's going to come back and fix it. That's your la'avda v'lashamra. Shmira is taking care of things, making sure they don't get ruined. The la'avda is to commit the involvement, and that becomes the tefillah and the building of an ayin. That means that these inyanim are themselves elements of socher. To be able to see the world, the more clearly you see the world with that perspective, that is the original sukkahs, in which, as the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was literally yoshev the sukkah, which is a remez to the base of Bereshis, which is that base of Chachma. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was yoshev in that sukkah, in order to be Bayri the Eilat. And therefore, Chag HaTzukas is the Chag of actual Bria and Yetzira, in which for the first time we become partners in the entire thing from the beginning to the end. So that's the Avdei V'Lashomrei. And because of that, as the Mefarshim talk out, what we do is we take the Eitz HaChaim, which is the Lulav, Tamar. Tamar is a remez to Tam Mar, which is Achein Mar Hamavet. Death is Merirus. Tam Mar means the end of death. That's the Eitz HaChaim. And that's the Mayim that comes from beneath the Eitz HaChaim as it describes in Bereishis. That's the story of Alexander the Great over here in terms of Chochmah. That he follows that stream that he understood himself must come from the Eitz HaChaim, follows it until he gets back to the gateway to Gan Eden. And it's all the stories out of Sukkot. It's an amazing thing, right? And what is given to him in Gan Eden? They throw him a skull of a human being so that he can recognize that it's all competition. And that no matter how much gold and silver you'll put on one side of the scale, the skull, which contains the eyes of a human being who has no limit to what he thinks he controls and wants, is going to outweigh it until you throw a little bit of dirt on him in the grave, and then it's worth nothing. Put some dirt on it, say the Chachamim, watch, and it'll be immediately mitakel. That's Asifa. That's his Gan Eden. That's his full vision of what Shaya. All of it, mamash, the story of Sukkot. It's amazing that the actual story of Alexander closes Seder Kochim in the Gemara with that story. Crazy story. Yes, Rashi says, Adam ayin lahakir betovatan shel gishamim v'litfalel. The expression of the interrelationship is the tefillah. Right? And that's why it's din. Vayipalel Pinchas. Plilim. V'natan b'plilim. Natan b'plilim is din. Tefillah is the inner recognition. It is reflexive. Lehit palel is the application of din as the kayach of aveda, which becomes the shutafut, which becomes the chagosem asem chaglashem, which is the soche, which is the nature of the sukkah, which is the creation of the world in the first place, which provides for the makom in which you have the sukkah measured by the very space of the interrelationship at the top of where the shechina is yared, which is the asara tvachim. And the sukkah becomes kosher, which is the Asarat Tvachim, which is learnt out from the place where the Shekhinah appears in the Beis HaMikdash Asarat Tvachim, Bein HaKruvi. So it's exactly this Nakuda of that Shutafut. This is where we meet. And that's the Yom Nashek, the day of kissing. So that's the ultimate day of kissing. Becomes, again, in the Lashon of Yerushalmi, Olam Hazeh Yotzei, Olam Haba Nichnas. But they kiss each other. They kiss each other because, as Rabbi Bach explains, a kiss is the interrelationship of what appears to be different realities that can never really connect. And yet their boundary conditions touch each other. And that's where we talk about lips. Lips are sfat, as he explains. The edges. Edges are boundary conditions. And it's in boundary conditions that different levels of reality are seen to interrelate, even when you don't understand how they relate. Right? And that's why if you try to understand the interrelationship between the microcosm and the macrocosm, you always look for boundary conditions. You always attempt to find, let's say, a superconductor at room temperature. Or you'll try to define liquefied hydrogen so that you can actually see quantum effects in the macrocosm and so on. Those boundary conditions are exactly what the nature of kissing is. I can't really experience your existence, but I can kiss the outside, which gives me a sense of my connectedness. And therefore, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba being so profoundly interrelated, yet being such different levels of reality, need to kiss. And that kiss is the sukkah, which is why it says, Sakosa L'Roshi. Beyond Nashek, the day of kissing, needed to be contained within that sukkah. So then that means that the ultimate nature of La'avdai V'Lashomrei, which is the concept of Aveda, is precisely an idea of sukkahs. It's what we do is to recreate the original Aveda in sukkahs with the same fruit, whether it's the tamar, and the tamar is lulav, which is a low lev, a single lev, eno lev echad, laviv shabashamayim. The esrog, as the Gemara says, is tama eitz, ketama pri, which is the nature of the fruit in Gan Eden. Anybody who hasn't tried that should. To eat a piece of an Esther tree, it's absolutely shocking that it tastes exactly like the Esther. That's the Tama Eitz Kitama Pri in terms of Gan Eden, which is why the Esther doesn't die. An Esther doesn't rot because it's the only thing that is still part of Gan Eden in that sense. And so because of that, Misa, so to speak, decay, is not Shailadon. You can always tell a phony Esther if it decays because it's half lemon. A real Esther turns into wood. Exactly. So that's an amazing thing. Right? So it takes us back to Gan Eden itself, to the things that we experienced in Gan Eden. And because of that, makes us once again present with that nature of Gan Eden, which is why it was so important to have this whole idea of Alexander. And one of the other things that Alexander asks about is the nature of consciousness, because he talks about whether Adam from side to side is broader than Adam min ha-shamayim to min ha-aretz ad ha-shamayim, which is a shaila in the Gemara Chagiga. And the Gemara paskens both here and there that it's the same. That same is quite remarkable, because that same means that only to the extent that the ba'os pechem es tvuas ha-aretz is true is the relationship of your awareness in terms of vertical awareness true. Your horizontal awareness is precisely dependent, as the opposite direction is true, on your vertical awareness. There's no such thing as a person who goes around claiming to have this profound spirituality but who knows nothing of Olam Hazeh. There's no such thing. The fullness of awareness is humanly necessarily part of the breadth of one's presence in the Olam, exactly as it is in the height of one's presence in the Olam. And to whatever extent a human life is limited by being constricted into itself, it is a limited piece of reality. To whatever extent it participates in the totality of the music, it is a living part of the reality. It becomes part of the Sifrei Shel Adam HaRishon, in which death itself is meaningless, because its presence in space-time is precisely the same wherever it is. The question of whether it's dead to other things is irrelevant, because whatever it puts into reality remains the same because it spans reality. This is my universe to an Adam. There's no such thing as my specific time in the universe. That specific time-space is purely a function of Olam Hazeh, which is purely a function of mechanics, and therefore is by definition constrained and constricted. But what is it constricted to? That remains very unclear, which we'll have to get to. But this idea of consciousness being the interrelationship is the way the Rambam puts it in the Mor Nevuchim so beautifully. And what he says is this consciousness is the only connection that you have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's up to you. You want it to disappear? Keep thinking about nonsense. It'll disappear. You won't know anything. You will be a dead brain for the rest of your life, because that's what you're looking for. You want to be attached to reality? Well, let me tell you something. You're going to need to work on it. Because the moment that your consciousness moves off to watching a TV program, he puts it so beautifully, it's as if you switched off that connection. He is not with you. You are not with him. You are living in a world of chaos. Anything bad can happen to you because you're not in touch with anything real. So that concept of din, that concept of connectedness, that concept of tefillah, that concept of investment, and the concept of consciousness are all essentially one thing. And that's the ultimate from Chedvat Hashem Imuzchem, the beginning of creation on Rosh Hashanah, to the Olam that was created with the hay, to the moving on, to the Yom Shekulei Shabbos. That meeting up together is that meeting. Hu imcha vata imo. And that is the kerav tanu malkeinu l'avodasecha, the ultimate kerav tanu. And that is the ultimate idea of Chochmah itself. And that's ze keli ve'anveu, ani vehu. I and him, we become one thing. And that's the complete change when it comes to these inyanim. It's the first time that we have even the mitzvah. Many times it says, v'alachta b'drachot. We never count that as a mitzvah until we get to the later parshas. And the difference is that in the original ones, it always says, mahu nikra rachum, afata tehi rachum. Here it doesn't say mahu nikra rachum. It's mahu rachum. Because that's what it is that you experience in the nature of the intimacy of your own existence. And it's because of this that this mitzvah of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the way that Rabbeinu Bachya explains the nature of Simcha, is the Tosefet of Ruach HaKadosh itself. That's what Simcha is. Simcha is enhanced awareness. It's not doing things, it's the experience of things. And in order to experience those things more profoundly, it's the Sukkah itself that provides for that experience. And because of that, the Tosefet of Ruach HaKadosh per se is that Simcha. And we call that the Simcha Beit HaShoeva because Misham Shoavim Ruach HaKadosh. What's amazing is that the Misham Shoavim Ruach HaKadosh has a different name, because the Gemara starts talking immediately after the Mishnah. There's two Gersos in the Mishnah, Simcha Beit HaShoeva or Simcha Beit HaChashuva. So the Gemara says, doesn't matter. Both Pshatim are right. Mandatani Shoeva lo mishtabesh, mandatani Chashuva lo mishtabesh. Mandatani Shoeva shemisham Shoavim Ruach HaKadosh. Mandatani Chashuva. Why? Mitzvah Chashuvahi. Comes all the way Misheshis Yimei Bereshis. Because Al Tikre Bereshis Ela Bora Shis. You understand the implication of such a crazy thing? Al Tikre Bereshis Ela Bora Shis means that the nature of Bereshis is to have the Shisim under the Mizbeach, to provide for the Avodas Hamayim, which is the provision of Adonai. Do you know where we know the din of the Schach? The Eid Ya'aleh Min Adama. אני אסביר לך. הקשר הפשוט שאנשים חושבים זה שעד זה בעצם אותו דבר כמו ענן. אבל זה לא נכון. כי הענן זה ההתפתחות של העד. אבל האמת היא שהעד זה המקור לצורך של האדם. ועד יעלה בין האדמה, כמו שרשי כותב שם, שזה היה תחילת הבריאת האדם. כי הכל היה רטוב. עולם, עולם רטוב, ובזה אבולוציה. הסתדר. אבל אחר כך עוד המים לעבוד את האדמה. זה היה צריך להפך מעד לענן. בעצם עד יעלה מן האדמה, אנחנו לומדים שני דברים. We learn two things out of that. One is that it has to be גידולי קרקע. Do you look at clouds as gidulei karka? It has to be gidulei karka. That's baos b'chem. What? And it cannot be mekabel tuma. Cloud can't be mekabel tuma. It's no shiur, single molecule. It's not contained by the yad adam. No kabbalat tuma. You understand that the mokar in Maisa Bereshis of tuma v'taira is the schach of the sukkah. The only place where it's, I mean, that is crazy to look at the Aveda of Sukkot, which is the Eid Yaleh, the Aveda Samayim, as being the mocker of the Schach of the Sukkah, and being the din of the Gidulei Karka, of the involvement of the Be'oz Bechev, which comes from the Karka, into the Socher Baruch HaKadosh. That's crazy. Come on, man. That's crazy, no? That's absolutely astounding. I mean, the simple meaning of the Pasuk contains all of the issues that we've been discussing. And nobody even thinks about that. That's ridiculous. How could we learn how to do like Karka and Tuma Vitaira from Eid Yala? Because that's the essence of the story of the presence of Adam and what Adam does. So obviously that's the Sukkah. What else would it be referring to if not the Anan HaKoven? And again, from the point of view of Adam Arishan, the Anan HaKoven is how he experiences the development of life on planet Earth. That's the point. What it is that Avram Avinu sees, that Alexander the Great sees, or that any astronaut sees, or anybody who even manages to get up to the space station sees, is that the world is a world of Anan HaKoven. That's what he sees. He takes a look at a universe all around in which there's this one ridiculous marvel, this tiny little cloud-covered marvel, which is a marvel. in the midst of everything, which has no mucker for the development of anything of complexity at all. Everything is just pure, absurd, simple physics. And the only place where anything becomes complicated is beneath Anan Yaakovit, sufficiently protected to develop complexity. Without the Anan Yaakovit, nothing develops. Everything is stripped into basic components. In simple physical terms, no ananim, no protection from radiation, no life, no water, no difference than any place else in the universe, antithetical to the development of complexity. Absolutely astounding. But it completely is the same as the aspect of Chochmah that is the essence of Kochim, the essence of Aveda, the essence of Hashka'a, which has a double meaning, investment and water. Amazing. Exactly the same ideas, because it's all Moshe. It's, you're going to be giving me X's, like four pages full of X's. That's when I know it breaks down. Has it already started? A little bit. Sometimes it can go on for thousands of pages as the finger rests on the X. Oh, gosh. Okay, so that's an introduction to the shir.
So,
התחלתי להסביר, לאט לאט, זה לוקח 6,000 שנה, זה כזה, בסדר.
יש לי חבלת.
לשון של האסיפה זאת אותה לשון של כהלת. מכיר, מאסף, אסיפות. כן? אינטגרציה. אנחנו נגיע לזה. אני רק נתתי לכם רמזים, אמרתי, זו הקדמה, אנחנו צריכים להתחיל את השיעור עכשיו. אמר, קודם כל נגמור את ההקדמה. עוד שעה של ההקדמה, אחר כך. אחר כך נתחיל את השיעור. כן. Because the meaning of consciousness is integration. What is consciousness? Consciousness is the integration into a field of space, not physical space, but there's a field in which all elements interrelate, which is why consciousness feels like expansion, right? It feels like the difference between listening to mono music or stereo music. You put on a stereo headphone, your head expands because the orchestra is inside of your head, right? The same thing is true when a person becomes conscious of something, as opposed to just thinking of something, which animals do. That consciousness he senses immediately as a musical experience. Don't you see? It's always an aesthetic experience. By definition, there's no such thing as an experience of consciousness that is not a very moving, powerful aesthetic experience. Which is why the nature of Hadar goes together with Lulav and Esrog, and the idea of the beauty that's involved in Sukkot, the commitment to the beautiful meaning of the Sukkot, of the things that we sing about in our Hashanahs. We talk about the flowers, and we talk about the plants, and we talk about the winds, and we talk about the trees, and we talk about the different species of animals, of birds, of. And it's amazing. It's it sounds mamish like a bunch of hippies. What we do in shul, we never daven this way. But this is the tefillah of Gan Eden. We never bring 70 karbonis for the Umay Sa'ilam who hate us. But this is a universal responsibility for the nature of life in all of its complexity and in all of its differences. The only thing that puts those things together is the music of consciousness. Don't you see? Without it, there is no integration or interrelationship between any particular aspect of what people think represents reality and any other. So I'm not talking only about the functional consciousness, which allows a brain to see a table you know, allows a frog to see a fly. That's phenomenological consciousness. I'm referring to something. Socha b'ruach hakodesh is not phenomenological consciousness. The ruach hakodesh is specifically the aspect of the awareness that allows you to pull it together. That is aesthetics in hadar by definition. Well, you try to jump ahead. You're not going to save any time. אנחנו נגיע לזה, לאט לאט. כמו שאמרתי, הוא אמר, יש לו סבלנות. שמעתי את זה מפורש. אולי אתה צריך לדבר איתו. אין לו סבלנות כל כך. So what this means ultimately is really quite an amazing thing as well, because what we generally relate, I think you may have blocked this car. Are we okay?
Yeah.
You can't take it. It's good to see you. Zach Viamatz. I hope we'll see you before a year passes. Has it been that long? Are you serious? Oh my God, I was wondering how you aged so much in 1 year. I really was. I didn't think I would. It's unbelievable. I got 10 years. My God. It's crazy. I'm the only one who doesn't age. Anyway, let me continue, yeah? Okay, so. Rabbi Said, yeah. So one of the amazing things about this is you recognize that the concept of Tkufat Hashanah, Tkufat Hashanah means that the year circles itself. Rashi says, it's meaning Tkufat. Lakif, which is what we do. All the things that we do is Hakafot, right? The Hakafot that we do are whether we're Makif, a little space around ourselves with the Lulav and Esrei. Or whether makifin et amizbeah, or whether we're makifin with the Sefer Torah. It's all about hakafot. Or whether we talk about, as Koheles does, the water cycle. All of that is the water cycle. It's about the reason that Choni HaMe'agel sits inside of a circle. And that's the way that he brings water. It's always about igulim. And igulim have many different levels of meaning, Kabbalistically as well. But one of the most fascinating aspects is that what this means is that you have to ask yourself, how in the world life could have evolved without life being there? In other words, if Adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama, and the truth is the Gemara speaks about this, because this is the meaning of the circle of life. To us, who within the context of Olam Hazeh, discover ourselves living in a world of entropy and only exist because of entropy, that is the nature of Asifa and Kohelet. Entropy provides the basis of our evolution. You understand? If there wouldn't be energy running down, then there would be no way for us to utilize that energy for the investment that is made with that energy. Is that clear? There has to be a direction of time running out in order for us to be able to evolve. So that means that all of life as we know it in Olam Hazeh is based on Asifa, not only because evolution only works by programming in death in order to provide for development, but much more deeply, the nature of a world of entropy, which is what Koheles is pointing out, that no matter how many times you cycle this issue, at the end, nothing can exist because it's run out. Because of the fact that they're achronim, to live in a world without entropy would mean not to exist at all. So what this means is, Moshe, try to stand up perhaps. So what this means is the most incredible thing. The Gemara addresses the question, how could life evolve without life? And what it says is that Vayechula Hashamayim Va'aretz, V'chol Tzivam means V'chol Tzivyonam. Kol Tzivyonam means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks creation, each element of creation, do you wish to exist? And they have to answer, yes. Do you wish to exist as this? Yes. What that means, obviously you can't ask something that doesn't exist whether it wishes to exist. The whole thing is nonsensical. What the point is, that the Vayechulu Hashamayim V'aretz V'chol Tzivam is not a reference to the world that we live in. Obviously, it can't be a reference to the world that we live in. Because in the world of Vayechulu, it says things like Totia Aretz, Desha, Eitz Pri, Eisa Pri, right? We don't live in a world in which Eitz Pri, Eisa Pri. Only the Esrog is an Eitz Pri, Eisa Pri. But it says Vayichen. How can it say Vayichen? Because that story is the story of the entirety of creation, in which the future is exactly as real as the past and contains the same elements that every process, in which the end of a process is innate in the beginning of the process, to such an extent that you would swear that giraffes grew long necks in order to be able to eat fruits that were higher on the tree. I mean, it seems so outrageous. Everything seems to tend in a direction that is not random. But that's the point. The end result is the beginning. And only because you happen to be living in an aspect of reality that is entropic, which has nothing to do with physics, I have to stress again, entropy is a statistical effect. It's not fundamental to physics. It's entirely statistical. You understand that it's statistical? Because there are more states of disorder than there are of order. That's all. So statistically speaking, you will constantly be going in the direction of entropy. It's only statistics. It could just as easily, in terms of the pure physics, go in any direction. There is no such thing as a direction of time in any real description of physical reality. It's only in thermodynamics. And in thermodynamics, it's only because of the statistics of entropy, nothing else. Those statistics of entropy have been discovered to be the nature of information itself, not only of particles. Information and entropy follow precisely the same mathematical formulations. Therefore, the development of the world as we know it, which is entropic, is a function of the malfunctioning of our brains, essentially. Since our brains are a outgrowth of entropy, we don't conceive of the reality of physics in which there's no such thing as a direction of time. So in terms of the creation of Bria, Vayehi Chen represents the whole picture. But so does the music represent the whole picture. So does ultimately the nature of Zeh Sifre Shel Adam HaRishon represent the whole picture. So does the nature of Teshuvah represent the whole picture, in which the end result is basically part of what was innate in the creation of an Olam on the basis of a hay, in which it's easy to fall out, in which it's possible to find your way back in, but not easy. It requires work, and that's why it has to be the side of the hay and not the bottom. So as the Gemara asks, why can't you just go in the way you fell out? Because lo mistaya milsa, things just never work that way. Even though you keep trying to make it work, it's much too complex to work that way. There's deeper reasons, but I won't get into it now. But just to hint to you, it's obvious that once your intent would be to make this mistake in order to make your way, then that means you did what you did in order to do teshuva. But you can never do teshuva if you made up your mind to do what you're doing in order to do teshuva. So by definition, you're always going to have to go a step beyond, you see. Therefore, there's no way that Adam Rishon can simply go back in the way he fell out. So it has to be an outgrowth. It has to be an emergent change rather than a conscious change. Because as soon as you attempt to do it as a change, it becomes simply a deeper involvement in the very planning that you set up to destroy in the first place. So you can never get out of that. You're just getting deeper and deeper into the same issue. That's the hint for the. That is what consciousness is always about. It's why tshuva and consciousness are so interrelated, because there is no end and beginning when it comes to the awareness of one's life in its entirety. It's children who live a day as if today is the only day. And if you tell them it's a week from now, to them that's, what do you mean a week from now? That'll never come a week from now, right? And human beings who never grow up experience a little bit more than a child does, in the sense that they experience their life from birth to death, if they're managed to get at least broad enough to understand how long and complex their life is. But the people who are completely alive, their life is not constricted by space-time, because everything that went into that life is experienced by them as part of the information of their own lives, in which case they cannot conceive of themselves as being cut off from the totality of what existence is, because it doesn't even make sense. You can't experience yourself as something that's cut off, not in time, not in space, and not in terms of relationship of any type. Either it's all there or basically none of it is there. That's the point. So if you're truly alive, then of course it's going to be one story, the same way that it's one symphony. So the end is always definitive of the beginning, and that's the tkufa tashana. That's the ultimate kufa. That's the interrelationship. So what we're talking about over here is an interrelationship which is very profound about the nature of Bria itself, a mitzvah chashuva from the time of Maaseh Bereishis that has to do with the nature of our consciousness and the development of what it means to be a Ben Yisrael, which is so profoundly part of this commitment to being involved in a shutafut of Kerav Tonu Makeinu L'Avodatecha, that Shmini Atzeres, which comes immediately after, Shmini Atzeres is seen as the time in which it becomes clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, we've had 7 days in which we've just been working together. You're trying to take care of the world for me. There's the Shivim Mumais, there's all of this. We haven't had time to make love ourselves. Koshalai Pridashem. This is not what it's about. We need a little bit of time just for me and you. That becomes the time in which the godless of Yisrael and the Yichud of Yisrael for the first time becomes absolutely clear, in which the Koshalai Pridaschem is the deepest understanding of the nature of a world that is generally hidden to us. And that too, as Rabbeinu Bachya explains, is the world of love, which is the essence of the Shechina. And that is Tochacha, Tov, Tochacha, as the Pasuk says, the Tochacha Begula, which comes from Ava that is Nisteret. What is the Ava that is Nisteret? Zot HaShechina. Shechina is always hidden, but it's innate in everything. And as you discover love, you discover more deeply the connection that you have to the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Maaseh Bereishis, and therefore the love that connects the two of you in the relationship, which we're calling V'chagosem Chag L'Hashem. Now, all of this is very wonderful, except for one minor problem. It has nothing to do with karbonos. I mean, certainly the getter of Aveda and Kochim has to do with karbonos. I mean, it's all very nice to talk about consciousness and talk about tefillah, and I understand that tefillah, keneged, the temidim, I mean, but it still does not talk about the simple need for karbonos. I mean, like, that's like the Beis HaMikdash is not just the place for tefillah. I mean, it's true, Beiti, Beit Tefillah, Yikarei L'Chol HaAvim, and that element of Sukkah does relate to the Beis HaMikdash. Well, what happened to, I mean, this is the time of karbonos. What happened to the whole kachim as the time of Kerav Tonu Malkeinu in terms of the bringing of karbonos? And that is not at all clear. I need, you know, what do you have?
The other page of the problem.
So here, let me tell you something. Rabbeinu Bachya asks the question, some of the questions that we asked about the nature of the Pesukim. Doesn't ask about the Mikra, but he asks about why do we have a separate Ach beyond Chamishas? And he says, I'll tell you my opinion. Zeh nireh li nachon. What is that? That is that we need Sheyachogu Chag Hashem Shivas Yamim Sheyitlu bo mitzvat alulav lechaper al kilkulo shel avinu harishon shehaya bizman hazeh. V'zehu shesamach lo miyad v'lekachtem lachem. Zeh nireh li nachon b'zeh. And what he's trying to say is there's something very, very profound that he's unable to bring out here because it exposes too much. And because of that, he says, he leaves it up to you to figure out. What he is saying is that what we're looking at over here is not simply a reliving of Gan Eden. No, we're talking about a fixing of Gan Eden. It's about tikkun. It's not about reliving. So the V'chagota Mocho Chag L'Hashem is necessary in order to relive. Listen, I mean, I don't mind. We can keep going without a break. I don't have to switch. This is really the end of the introduction. And we're ready to start the actual shiur. So all of these things were the basis of what we need to understand. Now, for the first time, we can start talking about what it is that is supposed to be changed, how it is that it relates to all of the things that Koheles was so profoundly concerned about and that broke his heart, not Stam. I mean, Koheles is a very, very painful book. And there was a lot of pain that he went through in order to get there, which he calls his amel, his work.